please stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. After he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" This ends the reading of the gospel, and you may be seated. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So ends the second reading.
Good morning, people of God. God, please bless the reading and hearing, receiving and living out of your word among the people of God gathered here this morning at Glenmar. Amen. We recently had the Academy Awards, the 82nd year. Did you see them? Some of you did, some of you didn't. Even if I haven't watched all of the movies that have come out in the past year, I try to watch the awards ceremony. To see the things that I've heard about all year long, to take a look at the people gathered and get an idea of what I might like to go see if I've missed it. Well, even if you didn't see it this year, don't worry, it was a lot like it's always been. Celebrities that we consider to be almost godlike. The evening was all about who arrived when, who they were with, what they were wearing, what the hopes of them winning were, what they won, and how, if they won, how they'd be on their way up in the world, and even just for being nominated, their lives would be changed. And it was also about how they arrived, in limos or stretch Hummers or the new eco-friendly hybrids or electric cars. And then it was about who they spent the rest of the evening with, hobnobbing with rock stars and musicians, or whether they got invited to the governor's ball. You get the picture. This is the world's picture of success, of upward mobility, making money, getting awards, making a name, known by the designers who dressed them, the jewelers who decked them out in dazzle, traveling in style and hanging out with the rich and famous, known by who their friends are. And in our scripture today, at this point, some 2,000 years ago, Jesus was recognized as the Messiah by some, and many hoped that he might be. and the things that Jesus had done, the signs, the miracles, the wonders, the healings, were known and preceded him and caused a lot of talk in Jerusalem. Palm Sunday, Jerusalem, is in celebration of the Passover. It marks the triumphant king entering the city on a colt. And the people are shouting, and palms are waving. And our carpet is lined with the coats from people's backs. And the one who we think might be the one we've been waiting for arrives. Arrives in ordinary clothes, traveling with tax collectors and fishermen, has been popular with prostitutes and the deaf and the blind and the outcast. And they're all cheering. This is Palm Sunday. Today is also Passion Sunday. It's the beginning of the journey of Jesus' last week toward the cross, where we remember Jesus, who spends the rest of his week with this band of followers, toward a closing at a simple Passover dinner party, where he washes people's feet, joined by the same people who lined the cheering path. And it becomes a way that leads eventually to his betrayal and death and arrest. This is the story of Christ Jesus, as our scripture says, who, though he was in the form of God, emptied himself and humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Well, I don't know about you, but for me, this call to follow Jesus is hard to hear. Living where we do in Howard County, where we're reported to be the third wealthiest county in the nation by the reports of last week, with a median income of about $102,000 per household. I mean, we aspire, even thrive, more on the description of a life path that leads to one like the Academy Awards, where we can be set apart by our achievements and our awards, our gifts, our talents, and our friendships with other important people. This self-emptying, downward mobility path that Jesus calls us to is against just about everything we teach and practice here. See, the path of life that Jesus has demonstrated suggests that we go into and alongside and among people to be with them, to help them, not to look down on them, but that we could relate to them in the mutuality of life's shared experiences. Jesus is paving the way for God's kingdom through one which is inclusive and reconciling. Jesus says, "The inward humility of your hearts and minds will be reflected in your outward obedience and service." A recent attempt at this in the past couple of years has been the launching of a website called scuppy.com. Now, those of us who are young enough to remember preppies and yuppies can recognize this pattern. Scuppy, a socially conscious, upwardly mobile professional. Now, the definition says you don't have to be a zealot, just someone who wants to make the world a better place and be comfortable, well-fed, and stylish while doing it. Now, of course, scuppies like yuppies care what other people think, and that's why it's important that their do-gooding be obvious. The founder, Chuck Fala, says he's done this because he has found religion. And he's writing the Scuppy Handbook, a practical guide to living well while doing good. Now, We laugh, we chuckle, and yet, you know, it resonates with us because some of us think that the way of Christian service is to do well in the world, get to a good place, and then help others. Well, folks, I have cloth grocery bags in my minivan. I've got veggie burgers in my freezer. I have my eco-friendly ozone-saving light bulbs in my living room. But I have no illusion that these things make me a better person or form me into the image of Jesus Christ. See, the call here is not about following a new social movement to feel better about ourselves. The call of discipleship is to follow Christ, to follow a different leader, to follow God in Jesus, who became one of us and did not come the way a king would come in the expectations of people 2,000 years ago, nor did he come as a celebrity in the way of the land that we might think in a classic Armani tux like George Clooney, or even as a wealthy, respected, socially conscious, upwardly mobile member of our community trying to do good in the world. In verse 5, Philippians, we heard that rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What did this servant life of Jesus look like? Well, early on, it looked like a refugee as a small child. It looked like a person whose identity and knowledge was questioned, one whose vocation and call was not a very high station in the community, who endured criticism for what he knew, what he did, and who he associated with. Ordinary people, questionable people, untouchable people. He was betrayed, turned over to the law for a few dollars by one of his friends, and denied by one of his best friends. The description of Jesus' servant nature is also a description of people who live among us now, who experience all of these things. Henry Nouwen, author, theologian, and professor of Yale Divinity School, has said that Jesus's compassion is characterized by a downward pull, and that's what disturbs us. We can't even think about ourselves in terms other than those of an upward pull, an upward mobility in which we strive for better lives, higher salaries, and more prestigious positions. Thus, we're disturbed by God, who embodies a downward movement. See, the life that Jesus lived was not a bending toward underprivileged from a privileged position. It wasn't reaching out from on high to those who are less fortunate. It wasn't a gesture of sympathy or pity for those who failed to make it in the upward sweep. On the contrary, the servant nature of Jesus, compassion, meant going directly to those people and those places where suffering was most acute and building a home there. That is such a high mark for us. And we wonder how we can do that. But Scripture urges us to have the same mind and attitude that Jesus had. Where is this demonstrated? Where is this modeled? Early on in Jesus' ministry, in the 6th chapter of Luke, Jesus is up on a mountain praying to God with his disciples. And as the day breaks, he looks out and sees a crowd of people gathered at the bottom. And here's what Jesus did. He went down. He went down into a big crowd of people, Scripture says, down to a level place with them, to be with them. And here's what he said. Blessed are not just the award winners. Blessed are not just the wealthy, the famous, and the beautiful. He said, blessed are those on the sidelines. Blessed are those who didn't get chosen for a part, who got passed over. Blessed are those who are aging. Blessed are those who have come alone. Blessed are those who have no home. Blessed are those whose bodies, minds, and spirits are failing them. Blessed because the life desired is not one recognized with applause and achievements and awards, but because the life desired is one in connection with God and loved by God. And Jesus says, this is available to all through me. The cross, the empty cross, is a victory ultimately. But the way of the cross, the path that Jesus calls us to, that leads to it, is not a way up here and now. It might mean giving up the honors, the special favors, the applause of people, a chance to walk on the red carpet and be showered with confetti. It might mean giving up a smooth ride and the champagne parties. The way of the cross, the way of Christ, is a downward movement. And it might mean enduring judgment and criticism, even the hatred of others. It might mean being with people the rich and famous don't want to be with. And it's definitely not about doing more just because we feel a social responsibility to love the earth and feel good about it. It's about being more in relationship with others who need to know the love of God in Jesus Christ. That saves them. The gospel in the 14th chapter of Luke, verse 11, says that all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all those who humble themselves will be exalted. The good news is that this way of the cross, this way of humble obedience and way down, does not end at the cross on Friday. It continues through the crucifixion and resurrection. And our scripture reading today in Philippians ends with these words. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if we live a life with Christ, if we are followers of Christ, we will take that word, that hope, to everyone in need of hearing it, believing in him for our salvation and offering it to others. We can rejoice in that journey no matter where it leads us, even if it leads us downward, because ultimately it leads to the glory of God in eternity. Amen.